Hello, everyone. This is George Watkins. Welcome to our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you on the live broadcast tonight. And I'm excited to introduce you, if you haven't met yet, Pastor John Zumwalt in just a moment. Before we do that, I just want to encourage you, if you can, to share this broadcast with someone. We're doing live on Sunday night, something the Lord dropped in my heart some time ago. You know that we've done videos every morning for about 3 years now. But this is a new venture for us as we trust we'll make no mistakes. On video, I can stop and start again, but here we are. You get what you get. And I feel the anointing of the Lord. We spent some time together, Pastor John and I, before the broadcast, just talking about the good things of God and finding out kind of the direction for what the church is doing and what we feel like we've been called to do. So join us for the next few moments, and let's just listen to the Holy Spirit as two men of God share together. And the scriptures tell us in the Old Testament that when that happens, there's a recording angel that comes by and begins to take notes. That's an amazing thought when you think about it. When two people get together and talk about the things of God, he begins to record it. So I believe we're going to have some good recording tonight. So let's welcome Pastor John Zumwalt. Hello, my friend. Thank you.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm like the pastor that when he invites a special speaker in, he always gets anointed and does a lot of preaching. So I got to be careful I don't do that tonight. I'm so glad to see you. Now, let me just give a brief background here just for a moment.
Sure.
Pastor John is in Sutherland, Oregon, and I have a special affinity for that church and for him and his wife and for that region. I started planting seed in that valley in 1962, and I was just a little chicken then. So I've been there a bunch of times, but it's part of my heart. That's why I wanted Pastor John to be my first guinea pig here on our live broadcast together. So welcome, Pastor John. And I'll stop talking here a minute, but let me just let you talk a little bit about where you are and what God's saying. And I want you to tell the people at some point here what happened on Sunday. It's just a great story. And it's indicative of the anointing and the Spirit of God that's in the Father's house there in Southern Oregon.
Well, good evening, Dr. George Watkins. It is an honor and a privilege to be here with you as always. I always treasure the times that we get to spend together. And isn't technology amazing? Now you're not having to get in your car and drive all the way down here for us to hang out. We can just click the camera on the computer and here we are.
Amen to that.
That's funny. You started here, stopping by with even before Pastor Bill in 1962.
Yep.
And I was born in 1982. So you've got 20 years of work in this field before I even landed on planet Earth here. But not to throw your age at you. Anyhow, we are in Sutherland, Oregon, beautiful Sutherland, Oregon. I might be a little bit biased, but it's the most beautiful place on planet Earth, in my opinion. And we love it here. For those that are unfamiliar with Sutherland, town of about 7,000 to 8,000 people. We're located right near Roseburg, just north of Roseburg, Oregon, right on I-5. And I grew up in this church. My running joke is that I have blood, sweat, and tears in this place because when I was 4 years old, I tried to do a flip off of the platform. I made it halfway. And the children's worker who grabbed the paper towel and helped get my bloody head out of the room is still here working with our kids, in the house here. But of course, we followed in the footsteps of your good friend, Pastor Bill Sanders. He's still around. He pastored here 45 years and really left a legacy and a heritage as a man of prayer, as a soul winner. Yeah. And, we have been serving here as the lead pastors, my wife and I, for a little over 2 years, 2.5 years now. Before that, we were in another place that saw a lot of George Watkins over the years. That was in Myrtle Point, Oregon. We spent 9 years over there. Three of which we were the lead pastors there. But our paths have crossed many times. And, we're just excited about what God is doing. Of course, today being Sunday, we just had just wrapped up a great day. We've been having just some fabulous services. George, today was no different. You know, we have two services on Sunday morning, our 9:30 and our 9:30 is we say it's a little more traditional, but no guarantees. We are, I would say one of our number one core values, here is that the Holy Spirit is free to come and move in any way he sees fit. I'll throw the plan out the window on the drop of a hat if he wants to change the plan, and he does on occasion. Today, the 11 o'clock service, our second service, just a great sense and presence of the Lord in worship. And I had a guest speaker here. I think it's funny how you were just referencing, I got to watch it because you bring a guest speaker and the anointing starts to flow. And, so you got a guest speaker, I'm supposed to behave and, calmly transition and then hand it off to him and let him preach. But I had a word from God this morning. I had recently seen an article. It was an interview, actually, of a young lady. I believe she is about 21, 22 years old, somewhere on the East Coast. And it was an article that, quite frankly, it made me almost sick to my stomach, irritated. And in this article, this young lady was justifying her current occupation, at which she was making several hundred thousand dollars a year, through basically provocative photography and taking her clothes off in front of the camera for private private parties and subscription and things like that. And she was justifying her occupation because she had grown up in the church and in a home that always told her God is love, God forgives, God is love, God forgives, he understands, all this different thing. And that her faith didn't, convict her of that lifestyle. And I stood on the platform, just that story was so fresh in my mind this morning. And, I fully, fully believe that God is love. I know you do as well. He's nothing but love. Everything he has is love. Everything he does is love. God is love. I fully believe that God is light. In him, there is no darkness. There's no shadow of turning. I'm so excited and grateful that his mercies are new every day. And I'm amazed at the depth of his grace and his forgiveness and his, the power of God to transform a life. And we preach that unashamedly. I'll never stop any of those. Right. I also know how important it is that we communicate that God is a just God. And his grace is not a license to go and just live according to the flesh and walk according to the flesh. You know, we're called to resist, you know, those things. But, and so I just began to share that. And we gave an invitation. I would, somewhere between 8 and 10 people got out of their seats, walked up to the front, responding to give their lives to Jesus, to make him the Lord of their life. You know, recognizing that one yes to God eliminates all the junk, all the mess, all the problems, all the issues, yeah. Saying yes to God. And we had a number of people who, you know, in that moment made that decision. It was so exciting. And had a number of people then who also received healing in their bodies. That's something. Can I tell a funny story about you and I?
Yeah.
You know, the first, George, I think you've heard me share this story, but maybe for those that that haven't, you know, the first time that I recall, I mean, I know I was around you and I know that I had been in George Watkins services before this time, but the first one that I remember, I was in college, and we went down. Betty Basil was in Myrtle Creek at that time, and you'd been down there doing some services, and you had a healing service you were doing. And I mean, people are getting healed, all kinds of stuff. I remember a young man had some kind of big brace on his wrist, and you know, you prayed over him, and he talks about feeling the power of God, takes his brace off, and he can move, and you know, I mean, suddenly he can do what he couldn't do before, and somebody else is getting healed of this. And I'm scheduled for knee surgery about 3 days from then. And, you know, my at that time, fiance has kind of given me the elbow in the ribs. Go get prayed for. Go get prayed for. And, you know, to be honest, you know, I was enjoying all the sympathy I was getting, to be quite honest. I had, you know what I mean? I was going to milk this thing for all it was worth. And so I responded and I went up there. But I mean, I had no faith. I had no real hunger or desire. And you prayed a nice prayer, you know, for me. And it wasn't on you. You know what I mean? It was just like I had no, you know, I had no concept of receiving healing. I had no concept. I had no urgency. I had no need. I had nothing, you know. I think I was the only one in the room who didn't get healed that day, you know. And, you know, somewhat skeptical of that. But I tell you what, God has shown me he is real. And even some of the seeds and deposits, you know, that you've made in my life over the years, you know, healing is now commonplace. And so a number of people got touched, a number of people got healed today. We had a fun time. But it's just, it's been a good Sunday. And I'm excited and honored to be here with you tonight.
Well, I could listen to those good reports all night long, I'll tell you. And what happens when a good report, we call them testimonies, is shared, not just the fact you just talked about me, but in general, what happens when we do that, it raises the level of faith for someone that's listening.
Yeah.
That is in a situation, and maybe there's someone out, let me back up. It's not a maybe. When God brings something like this up, it's a for sure. There's someone listening that is in that same position of in the cracks of faith. Do I believe? Should I believe? Should I do this? Well, you know, the Old Testament gives an example of one of the kings that was judged because he didn't go to God first. It's not wrong to go to the help around us. God gave us doctors because of his mercy and grace, and every good gift comes from the Father. But I tell you, everything we do, we need to ask the Lord, Father, I'm coming to you first. I'm coming to you first. And if you want me, you know, if this ain't going to work, you've got these avenues of mercy, which are, of course, the medical geniuses that are in our lives now. Just a thought, but thank you for that testimony. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the history of the revival that happened in your church a number of years ago with Pastor Billy Sanders. And you've managed, now I say managed, I don't mean like it's like it was impossible, but you stepped into the rhythm of something that was picked up several, maybe 25 years ago or 20 years ago, when that Saturday night prayer meeting started. Tell me a little bit about that.
So years back, in fact, I'll go back even a little bit further beyond the Saturday night prayer meeting. You know, I'm going to be on repeat here for a minute if I can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you tell me, because you've experienced the era that I'm about to reference. But I hear a lot of the men of, oh man, I don't know any other way to say it, George. Don't be offended here, if you will. But a lot of the men your age in ministry and in your season of ministry that remember the days when prayer meetings was common.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know, churches were built around prayer meetings. You know, of course, hearing the stories of O.C. Harms, you know, the founder of Grace International, and you know, and so on, that they would come in and they would have their prayer meeting for 2 hours, and you know, the story would go that they'd have all the staff in prayer early Sunday for 2 hours, I believe it was, and that's where the victories were fought and won. And then he'd say, all right, let's go up and pick up the spoils. You know, it was the prayer meetings. And Pastor Bill tells the story about a number of years ago when, you know, he could sense that God was wanting to do something, you know, great, not just another church. God was wanting to do something great. So he challenged the church to prayer meetings 7 days a week in the evening, every evening, hour of prayer. And it went on for 6 months. And that 6 month season birthed something in what is now the Father's House in Sutherland, the commitment to prayer. There had always been prayer meetings before, mm-hmm. but that season marked a significant pivot point. Mm. And, you know, from that time, you know, we continue this day. You know, we have at least there's four prayer meetings that we have every week attended. You know, some are attended more than others, you know, larger numbers of people than others. But the Saturday night prayer meeting in particular, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, the miracles that began, you know, coming as a result of those, the presence of God that would come in the building as a result of those, you know, too often, and I mean, I know not in your circles, you know, that you travel in, you know, church slips really easy. Church can slip into the system and can slip into the presentation and, you know, can I put together the best sermon and how do I have the greatest illustrations? And, you know, of course, in today's world, you know, the professional worship, you know what I mean? The high quality music sound, you know, and the things like that. And the danger is that it seems to me from what we've experienced and what I grew up in is the potential to slip into system rather than the Spirit of God. And the prayer meetings that happened here were the place. It's the engine that drives this church. It's the engine that moves the revival. I mean, right now we're experiencing just some of the most powerful Friday night prayer meetings I've ever been a part of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But they have a history. This is not something that was just, you know, just started 6 months ago because of the frustration of COVID. I'm excited for every church that's stepping in and starting prayer meetings. I mean, it's amazing right now the pastors that I'm hearing who are suddenly their churches are hungry to develop prayer and prayer meetings and prayer gatherings. You know, the things that are beginning to happen on Friday night, the victories that are being won on Friday night, you know, what we experienced today on Sunday morning, I'm fully convinced was birthed in Friday night's prayer meeting, you know, and maybe even before then. But the prayer meetings, the pressing in to the presence of God and finding out and hearing from him what his agenda is, what his heart is, what his plan is. I challenged the church a couple of weeks ago in the prayer meeting. You know, there's 25 of us roughly in the room. And you know, Jesus, it says, lives and sits at the right hand of the Father. Right now, he's at the right hand of the Father. He's seated there, interceding on our behalf.
Yes.
So right now, wherever you are in the world, you know, George, you're up in Mount Vernon, Washington. I'm sitting here in my office in Sutherland. Jesus is at the right hand, and he's speaking to the Father on our behalf. Mm-hmm. Both those things that he has, you know, that he sees we have need of, whether we've recognized it and asked him or not, you know, he sees those things, and he's bringing that stuff before the Father. And at the same time, you know, intercession is both bringing the need before the Father, but it's also bringing the answer from the Father. And he's catching the heart of the Father, you know, and bringing that in. And I challenged our team in prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, if he is at the right hand of the Father interceding, the most important thing we can do in prayer then is to stop and to ask him, what are you praying for us today?
Yeah, wow.
What are you, you know, what is heaven's prayer for you tonight?
Wow.
And then we want it to get into agreement with that. If any two will touch anything and agree upon them, it will be done for them by their Father, which is in heaven. Now, I'd also like to say this was an original revelation. I'm stealing this from another preacher, but that's how all preaching works, right?
Amen.
But I took it, and it's something that, you know, periodically throughout my, you know, the last 5 to 10 years we have done. But I'm challenging our church with it in prayer right now, and especially on Friday night. What is heaven praying for you tonight? What is heaven praying for our church? What is heaven's prayer over our governor? What is heaven's prayer over our nation? What's heaven's prayer, over our family? What is that? And I want to begin to hear that sound from heaven, that thing that heaven is praying, that Jesus right now, if I could just shut up for a minute in prayer and hear what he is speaking to the Father on my behalf, and then I come in and become the two. I want to get into agreement with that. I want to begin, I don't need to lead in prayer. I want to harmonize with what Jesus is praying. Mm-hmm. I want to come along and begin to develop a symphony. And then we reach out across, you know, the different leaders in our church, and there's times where I encourage, just begin to write down, what is it that God is stirring in you that he wants to see? God is more hungry for people to get saved, touched, healed, set free, and delivered than I will ever be. I'm hungry for it. I want to see it happen.
Oh, boy. But
I begin to challenge, what is it that he's praying? What is it that he's saying? And then we come in, we want to come into agreement with it. And in that agreement, we know there's guaranteed answer to prayer.
Well, you're stirring my heart. My goodness. I can hear the sound of prayer. I'm reminded of the story, and I've got, sometimes stories come together and they get connected with two or three of them together. But the gist of it was a pastor comes to visit another pastor, and the pastor of the church says, you want to see the engine room or the steam room or wherever it was. And he took him to the prayer room. He thought he was taking him to the furnace room. Want to know where the heat comes from? He took him to the prayer room. Wow. Yeah. And, we come from a Pentecostal roots.
Sure.
And our style, our early style, especially early style, had a lot of volume and a lot of sound. Paul Cho, David Cho, I forget his name now. I think he changed it. You know, the Korean pastor.
Youngi Cho.
Yeah, Youngi Cho. You said you could hear, you could hear his people for a long ways away when you went into the church. You could hear that roar downstairs.
Sure.
So there's something about sound that is important. Now, a little segue here, that there are those times when we just are quiet before the Lord, and both of them are very are essential. Both of them are essential, especially when you're talking about be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
Often in the early days of my background, Pentecostal background, it was mostly prayer, volume prayer for an hour, 2 hours, wherever your limit was. Sure. And often we never were quiet long enough to hear back from God. So a prayer meeting then can be almost structured to the revelation, or at least the foundation a person has come out of, can't it?
I would say so. I got a couple of thoughts, and maybe this is what you're referencing. You know what I mean? If I can bounce that thought back to you. I think a prayer life, a person's prayer life will be just as varied, you know, one person to the next, as different callings and giftings are, different personalities. Uh-huh. You know, there are things that we all, you know, engage in. So, you know, let me take an easy comparison. Worship, we are all given the command that we enter his gates with thanksgiving, we enter his courts with praise.
Yeah.
Okay. That expression of thanksgiving, that expression of praise, that expression of worship, you know, may vary person to person. It's all very real. You know, in prayer, I think that there, you know what I mean, you've got very loud personalities, you've got very quiet personalities. You know, we have, I'm thinking right now of a precious lady in the church. You'd know her if you saw her. I won't use her name just because I'll leave the names out so that everyone can remain innocent. But this woman is in at least two, if not three or four, of the prayer meetings every week. She's usually, you know, in the back, and, you know, very rarely, three, four times a year, is she loud enough that anyone can hear her unless she's approached, you know what I mean, to go in there and ask her to pray. But I tell you, my goodness, you ever ask this woman to pray for you, you're not just going to feel it, you know, in your ears, you're going to feel it in your bones. You know what I mean? It may not be loud, but it just, you know what I mean? It's powerful. And then you get me, I don't do anything quiet. I don't even walk down the hall quietly. I mean, my feet hit the ground hard. It's like, I sometimes get a little bit self-conscious because I'm too loud. And obnoxious, but I'm the pastor, so, you know, nobody can complain. I'm being a little bit funny here, but my nature, my personality is loud. It expresses different, but you hit on something that I think is so essential in, you know, being loud for the sake of being loud, or being loud for the sake of pattern. You know, I mean, again, that can become systematic, and that can become religious.
Yeah.
In Genesis 28, when Jacob laid down and went to sleep, and the heavens were opened, and the angel, you know what I mean? He saw the ladder. You got Jacob's ladder. Mm-hmm. And you have the angels of God ascending and descending. Our prayer life better have room for both. There better be things that are ascending up to heaven, to God, and there better be things that are coming down from God that we can receive.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be, you know, in a place where both can happen. And, you know, there's the, you know, of course, the praying, you know, the gift of the prayer language being something where we're pulling something often in, but yet, you know, your prayer language can also be intercession, that's coming out. But those moments where we can hear from heaven are every bit as important as those moments that we're speaking and bringing those issues up before God. We're called kings and priests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Priests, we're bringing that priestly anointing brings the issues up before God. You know, we're lifting that stuff up. The kingly anointing is grabbing a hold of what heaven is saying and bringing it down into the earth to release it. you got to be able to balance and handle both anointings as believers. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, it's no coincidence that we're talking about prayer. I'm just feeling an urge to carry on just a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be putting anybody down or being negative, but to be observing the body of Christ. The prayer, the public prayer, physical prayer in the general churches is pretty rare. Prayer meetings are not part of the exercise of a lot of churches. Now, that's not to say people don't pray, and that's not to say that the leaders and the pastors aren't praying people, but there's something about congregational prayer together that is so important, because we not only bring our spirit, our physical bodies together, but we bring our spirits together, and we bring the angels of the Lord that walk with us. They come together, so it's a magnifying of the army of God, the host of God comes together, and then Paul says when we come together in these prayer meetings or public meetings too, you know, church meetings, that the saints of God that have gone on before, somehow by that heavenly mystery, they gather together with us. So what a crowd, what a wonderful, powerful mystery it is, yet it's so important to come together and pray. If those you that are listening and with us, and quite a few of the people that will hear this, John, of course, are going to tune in through the next hours and days, and we speak to them too.
Yeah.
If you need to find someone that you have a heart, that your spirits blend and you have an attraction to spiritually, and you need to spend time praying together with someone. Uh-huh. If you can't find or orchestrate a quote unquote prayer meeting, get together and pray with one or two or three other people. Things happen when people agree together in this. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. One of the things that has been exciting to hear, you know, we have these, we started in September, there are these prayer calls that I'm a part of, Zoom meetings, you know, Zoom prayer meetings. Who would have thought we'd be having prayer meetings over the computer?
Uh-huh. You know?
But it gives me a chance to interact with a larger network of pastors. You know, because we have pastors from California, Texas, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, you know, Texas, I think I said that already, Utah, you know, up through the Great Lakes region, you know what I mean? It's a large number of pastors who are gathering. And one of the most beautiful things, you know, that's come of the last year is listening to the number of leaders who, you know, before at times, you know, they fought to try to get their people to buy into a corporate prayer meeting.
Uh-huh.
You know? And now they're not having to fight it. The people are coming in hungry to gather together in prayer. And, you know, we don't hear a lot about that on the news, that there is an increase in, you know, prayer meetings that are happening. But I want to tell you, it's very real. You know, pastors and leaders that I interact with that before never had that, now are. And the closest that I can gather, you know what I mean? I don't have the actual, you know, diagnostics and metrics on this, you know, and statistics, but pretty much without exception, the churches that I have heard, you know, that I'm in relationship with their leaders, it's not, you know, I know them through YouTube. You know, these are people that I know that have, you know, have really stepped up in their corporate prayer gatherings. Those churches are seeing significant increase in impact and influence right now. And I mean, they are directly connected. You know, the connection between that corporate coming together in prayer and what's happening in the rest of their services, it is a direct connection. It's not a coincidence. And conversely, those who have not been willing to step in, you know, to that, you know, they haven't had the same increase of influence and impact. And again, it's not, you know, I'm totally in agreement with you. I'm not throwing stones at anybody, you know. I've got some very precious pastor friends who are doing their best to hear from God and to lead their churches and their flocks respectively. And I don't think that there's any one set answer for any of them. But this one thing I do know, we're called to pray. And
well, yeah, didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, you're good.
In the national snapshot then, thinking back in history, I know you're aware of what I think the name of it was the Fulton Street Revival that started by a man that wanted to gather to pray at noon. I think it was New York.
Yeah.
They met two or three people met. Well, that spread to all the cities all around the nation, and I think it went for 100 years. They tell me, but they tell me that. That was what saved the nation because it started just before the Civil War.
Yeah.
And I believe we're seeing prayer raise up now across the nation. There's, you know, I follow Dutch Sheets on his little 15-minute broadcast every day. And men like that and women, men and women, there's some great, on you know, both sides, great men and women of God that are leading us in national prayer, and with the help of the internet, of course. So there's some great hope coming. I mean, there's hope. Hope is always great, but I mean, there's some things happening that God's putting back into us, to the body of Christ as a nation, the desire and the push into prayer again. Amen.
Yeah. Throughout history, it's interesting. Don't run with this in a wrong direction, Mr. Prophet. You know, you look at the Great Awakening, 1720 through 1760, you know, the absolute revival that exploded in the United States, you know, pre-United States, you know what I mean, is what established this nation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was every one of those, I believe it was well over half of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were products of the Great Awakening. They were pastors that had been trained to pursue God.
Wow.
The Constitution itself was written, that Constitutional Convention where they gathered, they quoted 2/3 of it was scripture that they basically wrote down as a founding governing document. That was all a product of the Great Awakening. You get into, of course, then that second Great Awakening, which, you know, you're referring to, that the Fulton Revival, you know, and everything, sustained the nation through the Civil War. I think of the Azusa Street Revival, you know what I mean, that really sustained, you know, the nation through World War I.
Yeah.
The explosion of the gospel that happened, you know, out of the, you know, 20s and 30s, you know, there was a lot of issues and problems, but there was the birth of the Pentecostal movement, you know what I mean, really taking place in the early 1900s that sustained the nation. I think, what was the guy that was the prayer guy in Great Britain, you know, during World War II? I'm forgetting his name, but he would pray and the Holy Spirit would tell him, he's got a book on it, on intercessory prayer. The Holy Spirit would show him what Hitler was doing. And somehow he had a connection with Winston Churchill.
Reese.
And, what's that?
Reese Howells.
Yes, Reese Howell. I couldn't think of his name. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Realizing that prayer was one of the tools that turned the tide. You know, everybody wants to talk about it with General Patton. And sure, General Patton you know, had to be down in the field. But in the same way that Joshua was down in the valley fighting the battle, Moses was interceding on the mountain. Saul was interceding on the mountain and giving instruction to the, you know, the Winston Churchills and the Pattons, you know what I mean? And that covering, you know, sustained, you know, and protected, you know, really the world from World War II collapsing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the birth, the urging of prayer, that growth of prayer that's happening right now, you know, we need to applaud it. We need to push it. We need to promote it, urge people, you know what I mean, to be gathering together, you know, because God's doing something. He's stirring this for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard the name Guy Bevington?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Is another book that would be a companion to the book on Reese Howells. Guy Bevington was a itinerant evangelist in Kentucky, Tennessee, and it was in the days early America. But I'm guessing in my memory like the 30s, maybe 20s, okay. And 30s. He would come in to town with a suitcase full of hymnals and his other suitcase with his clothes. And in one case, he comes into town. It's night. He doesn't know anybody. He goes in and he walks into a haystack in the middle of the field, crawls in there and sleeps. That's where he sleeps. Well, he gets up and he finds himself a place to preach. Every night he goes back to the haystack. Nobody invites him home to eat, you know. And In another place, he crawls up into the attic of a little rented schoolhouse and prays. He doesn't come down. He prays up in the attic while people gather and getting saved below. Huh. He's the guy that got crawled into a hollow log and stayed there 9 days while the squirrels fed him, praying. And that's the kind of spirit that changed that whole region through those years, was that type of praying people. It's quite a life story. If you haven't read it, Guy Bevington, and it'll give you some stories of prayer that are just amazing. He went into a farmhouse because the wife was sick. And the husband didn't want him there, but he went in, you know, he finally let him in, went in to pray. And he fell down by the bedside in intercession. And while he was praying, he prayed there several, and it was a day or two. I mean, just a long time. And people came to the kitchen just by the Holy Ghost, got saved. One after another, getting saved. Anyway, I won't get any more stories, but if some of the people that are listening, if they haven't picked up that book by Guy Bevington, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. Yeah. That part of the heroes, Reese Howell and, you know, many others, of course, in our life that have built into us a fiber, a structure, a framework of what we love and consider a prayer life, you know, the type of prayer life that we're not searching for. That's the wrong word. That we are pressing into.
Yeah.
Growing in, you know, developing in. Amen.
Yeah. I love, you know, I have this conversation with, I don't know, maybe it's just myself, but it seems like I've had this conversation with many people who, you know, they want to grow and develop in their prayer life, you know, and things, but they don't want it to be a religious experience, you know. And prayer, you know, I love how you just talked about that pressing in, the pursuit of, you know, it's really the pursuit of his face.
Yeah.
You know, not getting it too complicated. You know, sometimes I think that I have made the mistake of, you know, the got to do this and got to do that in prayer, got to do this. And, the more time I spend in prayer, the more time I realize it's the pursuit and the enjoyment of being in His presence.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this is just for effect. It's kind of silly, but you know, the public swimming pool, whether it be at school or wherever, there's a sign when you go in: shower before going into the pool, health-wise. All right, I'm coming to the point. Matter of fact, I've come to the point. I just don't get to do it all the time. Before worship and before prayer, we ought to have, get your head straight before you go into prayer or worship. Who are you? What did God do for you? You know, just get your head straight so you don't spend the first 15 minutes wondering if God even loves you. Come on, get that in your spirit. So when you end, you're not wasting time. No wonder people don't like to pray. It's miserable. No, I wonder if He loves me today. He does. So that's just my little barb for the day. Even in worship, let's not worship today, folks, until you know who you are in Christ, and you are the redeemed, and God loves you. And if there's something you're not dealing with, you haven't dealt with, do it now, because we're going to step into His presence. And in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Yeah. If you see a shower mounted on the outside of the church next time you come down, you'll know that it was inspired by this conversation.
Okay. Shower before you get in the pool.
That's funny.
Well, I believe the Lord has given us a word for this season, for this session together. I believe what we need to do is... And we already have agreed together, but before we leave our journey tonight, we just speak of, I like what Dutch Sheet said the other night. He said, when you get a word from the Lord or you preach a message, especially the prophetic edge that, you know, we walk in, whether you call a man a prophet or not, when you step into the pulpit, you're prophesying God's purposes. he says you need to declare it. And decree it. He says, if you decree a thing. So often when I'm teaching, God drops a word like He has right now. Then we turn that around. And instead of, now to me, prayer is, could be in the thought of, oh God, help us. God, come down. God, do the work. But a decree is, I speak this word into the hearts of those that are listening. I release the anointing of the Lord. What God has said today, let it be physically and spiritually just marinated into their spirits. I speak a release. I just decreed that as I was explaining it. So when God drops something like you did in the service, like He did in the Sunday service, you got up and I'm calling it a decree, but you made a plea and a declaration. If that's you, come on down. And He did. So I'm just encouraging, I'm just repeating myself here, but God's talking to quite a few of us about our prayer and our responsibility and our covenant that we made with Him, that we would be that voice on earth. And as far as I know, the scripture tells us that He doesn't do anything without prayer. That sounds scary because so many people think, well, if it's God's will, He'll just do it. Or if God wants me to do that, He'll, you know, kick me out of my chair. No, I heard a guy say one time, he said, the bed is made for sleeping. Get up when you pray. I thought that was good. I had a friend years ago that he'd get up early, and the only way he could stay awake was kneel on his shins on the edge of the bathtub. That's how he stayed awake. I don't know how long he stayed there. That was his testimony.
Yeah. Hey, well, that would wake you up.
Yeah, that would.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
this has been a blessed time. You got something in your spirit you want to wrap up with?
I love that concept of decreeing that word from heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's concept of what I was trying to get out on the, you know, the ladder, the king and the priest.
Yeah.
You know, come to a place. I want to encourage and urge, you know, our listeners tonight. Go before God and stay in the presence of God. Stay in that pursuit of his face, you know, that attitude of receiving and hearing. And when when it clicks on the inside of you, that is not the time to just jump up and, okay, good. No, that's the time to take it in. And when you begin to declare it and decree it, when you begin to speak it, you know, it begins to alter who you are. You know, by faith,
yes,
the world was framed by the word of God.
Yeah.
When that word begins to stir in your heart, you know what I mean? That answer from heaven, and it could come from a pulpit. It could come from a George Watkins broadcast. It could come from, you know, study of the word. It could come from the prayer closet. That answer begins to stir in your heart. That unction begins to come up. You need to begin to take it. And when you begin to declare it and you begin to decree it, what are you doing? You are framing your world. You're beginning to put the house together to drive that nail in, that board in, that wall in. You begin to take that word. You know, even if we go to the one that you were using as an example a minute ago, God loves me. God loves me. My God has forgiven me. Yeah. My God has cleansed me. I want to tell you who are watching tonight, and you may not be watching live because I feel like there's going to be some who are watching later, and you keep coming back, you know, to these things where you're haunted with the memory of the stuff that was years gone by, and the devil just wants to keep reminding you, and your mind wants to go there. It's time to take the word of God that says that when you have confessed the thing, that you have been forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. That's a word from God for you and I. You need to begin to take that, and you need to begin to frame your world. I am not going to live under the condemnation, under the guilt a day longer. Why? Because I have been forgiven by the blood, by the cross, by the power of God Almighty. I am no longer an old, dirty, rotten sinner. I have been born again, blood bought. I am spirit filled. That is not who I am any longer. Well, I make that decree, Pastor John, and then 3 minutes later, I feel the same way. Pick up the hammer and swing again. Drive that nail again. You're not going to get out of that until you drive that nail home.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you. You begin to decree it and declare it. What are you doing? You are framing your world. The world that you're living in is the world that you frame. You're going to frame it with the word of God or the word of the world. You choose which way you're going to go. Just like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Good word, brother. Amen, Lord. Let that just penetrate into the hearts that are listening. Let the anointing of that word, like the oil from heaven, just flow into those areas of need. Lord, we release this now in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Hey, I got one more thing I want to mention real quick.
Uh-huh.
Some of you real Pentecostal, you hyper-Pentecostal people, I don't mean that in an insult, okay, but you that George, you join George in here and he says pray, and I mean, you just jump into your prayer language and you begin praying, and when you get released, you're okay, good, and you jump and you go. take a minute. When you get done praying in the Spirit, begin to ask the Holy Spirit for the interpretation of what you just prayed. But there's nobody else in the room. It was just me. First Corinthians gives us an understanding that if somebody is praying, let him pray that he may interpret. And it may be just you and yourself and God.
Yep, yep.
Take a minute. Begin to ask him. Begin to receive the things that you have been praying in the Spirit. See what God shows you. That's all. I'll be quiet now.
Oh, boy. That's one of my favorite subjects, brother. You know, Oral Roberts said that everything that he did came out of his personal tongue and an interpretation in his journey that he did.
Wow.
And of course, you know, the downside of that story is that he's a big famous preacher. Who am I? I'm just chump change. Don't do that, because we're all the same in Christ, aren't we? Amen. Amen. Well, what a wonderful night this has been, and we'll do it again. I'm going to come back and have another involved time with you. Looking forward to coming and spending some physical time with you again this year.
Yeah,
as we love to do every year. We've had your address up there, so if people are reading that, they know where you are. They can tune into your webpage. And I want to thank you, John, before I say goodnight to you, that I appreciate your part in my life. You and your wonderful wife are such a blessing to me in the knowledge of you being in the kingdom with me. I get to work with you occasionally, but I know you're lifting your end of the world. Your wife, I know her name, Cammy. Pardon me for stuttering, but I know her name. She is one of the most powerful women ministries that I know of. She just is not as well known as some of the others, but she is on a. She, when I hear her preach, I tune in once in a while, listen to her preaching. When I remember one a few months ago, I think it was called Bulletproof. What a great sermon that was. So I encourage you, and I bless you, and we will talk to you soon. Be talking to you on the phone a little bit later.
Okay.
Amen. Okay, well, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our life and our journey. And we will see you Monday morning. If this has been a blessing to you, be sure and subscribe to our channel. when you do, give us a thumbs up. Give us a like if you are blessed with this. And thank you for your financial support. Some of you are sending some gifts in. That's a blessing to us. Until we see you again on Monday morning, and then next Sunday night again, God bless you.
Thank you for being with us today. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to us to know that we're able to speak into your life and give you something extra to chew on for a while. Be sure and contact us if you would like some prayer or teachings of any sort that we might be able to help you with. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe to our channel. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do that through our PayPal account. The notes are there that you can find in the notes below. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you at the next broadcast.